They call it the Super Committee, the United States Congress Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction. This bipartisan group of six senators and six congressmen is charged with forging a deficit compromise before Thanksgiving or else. The or else would be a $1.2 trillion automatic spending cut, largely from the defense budget. The committee negotiates in secret.
Well, Aaron, I'm not going to go into all the details that happened within the super committee, but let me just say we've had lots of back and forth.
Say that. Now, listen, you know, I'm not going to divulge everything that's happening in these discussions, but there has been progress.
You know, I think these discussions are best left to the meetings and not to try to characterize them in the press.
As transparency freaks, our reflex is to condemn a process so opaque. Yet, with the government frozen in the grip of unbreakable deadlock, we wondered, is this one of those moments when less sunlight is better? Donnie Shaw is the lead writer for Open Congress, a project of the Participatory Politics Foundation and the Sunlight Foundation, two leading transparency groups. Matthew Iglesias is a writer for Think Progress and a fellow at the left-leaning Center for American Progress Action Fund. Donnie, Matthew, welcome to On the Media.
It's good to be here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Donnie, let's start with you. You have called the Super Committee, quote, an anti-democratic institution by design. How?
They pretty much wiped out the vast majority of Americans from the normal representative democratic process. Most people don't have a representative serving on the committee. And that really limits how effectively the public can give input into the committee and how well they can hold them accountable.
Matt?
I don't think there's anything undemocratic about it exactly. Any output that they do would still need to pass Congress and be signed by the president to come into law. I don't think that appointing special committees to do the detail work on issues is a particular violation of any of our principles.
Well, you know, I think there's someone who agrees with you. Let me play you a little clip of tape.
Consider anything unless...
Why does this have to happen in secret?
Because it's the only way it's going to happen. Because you can't solve Social Security and ask people to run for election at the same time. So why not give politicians some cloud cover and let them be lawmakers for a while? 15 people in a room with the door closed. And they walk out of that room and with one voice they make a recommendation to Congress and the American people.
Matt?
You know, the views that that Toby Ziegler was espousing there in the West Wing does seem correct to me. It's not that you want major policy changes to be made in secret, but you need people to be able to have secret discussions with one another about what their real negotiating positions are.
If a couple members want to hold a meeting where they can discuss things over lunch or something, that's great. I just think that the standard operating procedure should be openness.
You know, well, that sounds great, but you and I both know that if you put a U.S. congressman in front of a microphone and ask what the weather is, you know, you're going to get spin. They're just constantly processing political consequences of every single word they utter. Shouldn't we give them some permission to operate where they can actually say what's on their mind?
Transparency isn't just about cameras. It's about access to open government data so that we have time to review legislation, so that we have version control of legislation so we can see who put what provision in and where and why. And right now, we're sorely lacking in those basic kinds of disclosures.
Certainly. I mean, if they do reach an agreement, it would be fascinating to know, you know, who did what was whose idea. That kind of transparency about outcomes is really great. But I just think that if we want to have any optimism at all about the idea that this committee is going to solve the problem they've been tasked with solving, we have to let them hold their meetings, say what's really on their minds, and have an honest negotiation.
That hasn't been the case so far. So far, more than half of the meetings that the Super Committee has held have been secret from the public. On the other hand, they're not secret from corporations and special interests who can afford these expensive access lobbyists who, according to reports, are getting readouts from the committee meetings and are able to arrange then one-on-ones to protect their interests from the super committee.
Can you document how much access insiders have to the still more inside members of the committee?
At this point, it's basically anecdotal. There have been some reports that already 200 groups have reported that they've been lobbying the super committee. One of the things we would support is quicker disclosure of both lobbying and campaign donations while the super committee is in effect.
Aren't there some legislative proposals on the floor to accomplish just that?
Yeah, there are, but I believe the bill in the House has 4 co-sponsors and, you know, doesn't have any leadership support. Doesn't look likely to advance.
Matt Iglesias, are you not concerned about the ability for others to influence the conversation or at least have access to it while the rest of the citizenry is just completely shut out?
It's difficult in American politics to draw a super sharp contrast between, you know, the insiders and the rest of the citizenry. Americans are represented through associations and groups that they belong to and that work in D.C. I think it's a huge problem that business interests have disproportionate power over Congress relative to environmental groups or labor unions or something like that. But that's a problem that, you know, relates to the social structure of the United States, to our campaign finance laws. Why would holding the meetings in public with cameras on actually resolve that?
The whole notion of this super committee hinged on the assumption that the status quo wasn't working. Is there any evidence that you guys can see so far that the super committee is behaving any differently than the Democratic and Republican parties at large?
No. I mean, there's a very serious disagreement about the desirability of increasing taxes, and I don't believe that kicking this to one committee or another is going to change that fact.
Yeah, I agree. I think that all indications show that this is just going to end in a stalemate.
Donnie Shaw is lead writer for Open Congress, a project of the Participatory Politics Foundation and the Sunlight Foundation. Matthew Iglesias is a writer for Think Progress and a fellow at the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.